Welcome back to Talking Hockey, episode 113. Is that correct? I think yes. That's correct. Today we'll be we're without Ty, first of all, because he's a lazy bum and supposedly,
I don't even know what he's doing tonight.
And
actually,
yeah, I don't know what he's doing either. But anyways,
he never announced what he was doing.
I can't do Wednesday.
He must be staying over at the girl's place because
ooh.
Because normally he announces what he's doing.
Interesting.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite. Producer Luke here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple. Visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
Anyways, we'll be talking about the playoffs today is kind of the big conversation, and then maybe some outside the playoffs drama slash kind of in the playoffs drama that occurred. Obviously, Flames and Oilers. Oilers kind of cruising through. Blues kind of trying to kill Kadri. And Kadri kind of having one of the best games of his career. And then, of course, Florida Panthers getting swept by the Tampa Bay Lightning. Where do you guys want to start? Tampa?
You forgot New York Rangers, Carolina, bro. Like, that's the most entertaining series.
No.
I haven't watched a game.
I haven't watched a game of that series. So, the other ones I've all watched.
Not prioritized.
Those were not prioritized at all. Oilers, Calgary got prioritized a lot. Obviously, Florida, Tampa got prioritized. New York, Carolina, not so much.
I'm in bed by the time Edmonton, Calgary game start, man.
Yeah, I've never actually been able to finish a game. When you started the game.
I finished them.
Well, that's easy to do when you're unemployed.
That's not true.
Now you're a dog owner, Martin. Tell us a little
He's
bit.
An unemployed
dog.
Dog owner. Oh,
Speaking
yeah. So for
dog,
everyone
my
knows,
dog just came to me.
Martin got a dog. Martin's officially a parent and responsible for another human being or another being. Another living thing, it's called Snowball, and it's a white fluffy dog. Oh, that's so cute.
It is adorable. He's pretty adorable.
I asked for five.
Is he a baby?
No, he's five. Oh, I got him from the Humane Society.
I see.
So he's old.
Yeah, Martin
he's
was bragging about saving a life earlier. He's like, I've saved a life.
Of course, that's the whole reason Martin got the dog. Let's be real. He just wants to brag about saving a life.
It's a tax break. Tax write-off for his company. This is the company dog. I bring him to soccer games, and kids can play with him.
And he's going to wear a Green Wave jerseys to advertise his program. There you go. Anyways. All right,
so I guess we want to start with the Florida. Let's start with the series that's over.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, my first question is, does this make Florida look worse than the Leafs?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, do we think they're the Florida Panthers now?
I mean, if Ty was here, I think he would say that. I still think Florida's a really good team. They just ran into a really hot goalie. And frankly, Tampa plays the exact type of game that the Florida Panthers are kind of weak at. Right, like the Panthers thrive with their rush game, and Tampa's very good at shutting down a rush game. So I feel like they just the clashing styles, and Tampa's better at their style than Florida was at theirs. But we have to remember, like, Florida was the highest scoring team in the last, 20 something years, almost 30 years, I think. Like, that was probably the best offense we've ever seen in a while, at least I've ever seen. And deepest, you know, they had guys scoring 60 points on their third line. Like, it was absolutely insane. So I think they just got goalied a bit. I think
they definitely got goalied in game four especially. Vasilevsky had like a 49 save shutout.
Vasilevsky, another shutout performance in a game, in a game winning
his only non-shutout series clinching game is against the Leafs.
Yeah,
where the Leafs scored two goals but lost 2-1.
Yeah, he's gotten shutouts in 6 of his last 7, I think, or 7 out of his last 8. I forget which number that
is. Yeah, 7 of the last.
And the only one that wasn't a shutout was against the Leafs. I think Leafs are one of the few ones that actually went to Game 7 too, because the finals didn't last year Florida didn't this year. The semi,
they did against finals, the Islanders. I'm pretty sure.
I think they went to game seven.
I feel like there was a series they were down 3-2, and Vasilevskiy had back to back shutouts. But I might be wrong.
Might have been the Islanders. Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like that was the case. Vasilevskiy was not the Vasilevskiy he was in the Leaf series. I will say that. He seemed back to full form, but
he killed it. Yeah, he was killing it.
So that's scary for everyone else. And now they get a huge break.
I mean, how many goals did the Florida Panthers score? 3 goals over the course of the series?
Yeah, it was like 3 and 4, 4 and 4. It was like, it wasn't more than a goal per game, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the Panthers scored like 4 goals a game in the regular season. By comparison, that drop-off is insane. And
I think
the power play didn't do anything. Like, yeah.
This is why I think getting to the second round, while good, doesn't really mean anything if you lose 4-0. Like, if you got swept in the fourth round, you might as well just lost in 7 in the first series.
I mean, honestly, if you don't like win the cup, doesn't matter that much. I mean, yes, it does. It really does. Like,
it definitely does.
We'd all be way happier if they lost in the cup.
5 years, 6 years.
But I think the real question is now, like, what, like, they got goalied, right? I don't think.
Bob was really pretty good in game 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they need to adjust some. So I'm comparing Florida to 2018 Tampa when they got knocked out by, what was it, Washington in the conference finals? So
I'm not sure Brunette's like the best. Like, I think they should move on from him. I'm not sure he's the best coach.
I'm not sure. I don't think you can do that after the season that they just had.
Oh, I think you can. Especially considering you had one of the better coaches, and obviously he had.
Yeah, like, but he continued. He continued exactly where Quenneville left. But I think
Quenneville was good. I think we saw some of Brunette's shit in the playoffs, and it wasn't. It wasn't it. It just wasn't it.
He definitely didn't make the adjustments he needed to make throughout the series, for sure. And then some of the adjustments he did make, like, you know, scratching Duclair, couple other like things like that, obviously didn't really work out either.
And I think with the coaching market the way it is, like, I think there's...
I mean, unless they're going to go grab... I don't know. Unless they're going to get Mike Sullivan all of a sudden or something, I think you got to keep, like, you have to give him one more chance, I think. Because, like, that's his first playoffs.
I don't know.
He just had one of the best seasons.
It really depends on if you're around the team and if you think that they were a product of Quenneville more than Brunette, then I think that's what it comes down to.
You can say goodbye, Brunette. Because he's still intern tagged, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
so you're not paying Brunette.
Surprising that
you're not playing Quenneville because he quit. So
it is surprising that he's still interim, even though after the season that they just had, like, you'd think like they would have extended him by now if they were really confident.
But we always talk about them having a decent GM, right? So maybe he's aware that that's not the case. But
I still think they give him another chance and then see what happens. I think you have to. Like, he had too good of a season.
But 4-0
break it down after four games.
4-0 against a team that you
and they could have lost. They could have lost to Washington. Like, that series was much closer.
They could have, but they didn't, which is, I think, is an
important. But it shouldn't have been close at all. Is the other thing?
It shouldn't have been close. Yeah. You're right. Right.
That was probably the most lopsided first round series.
I think the players let him down more than anything else. Like, Barkov and Huberto having like. I don't know how many points. Does he have any pull over the players?
Like, that's one of the things that internally they need to figure out. And
I don't know.
I think the regular season was too good
to not give him another crack at it.
Looking at him, looking at his mannerisms on the bench, he just doesn't seem like he has the it factor.
This is my thing. If Toronto gave Keefe another chance after last year against Montreal,
but Keefe was an up and coming coach. Like, I don't even know. I thought people didn't even know who Brunette really was. Like, I didn't think he was.
No, I had no idea who he was.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Keefe was a known product. He won the Calder for Toronto.
He won Memorial, I think.
But Brunette was also the assistant coach for Quenneville for like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a guy you never thought was going to be the coach this year.
Yeah. But then he also led them to their best regular season probably ever.
Again, that's all depending on who you think systems were in place. So I'm more on Martin's side, actually.
We're going in circles.
Yeah, we are going in circles. Eric's wrong.
Point is, I'd be willing to bet they run it back, make some roster changes. Talking turn.
I think they have to make a done better. Couple of rosters.
They have to. They're going. Well, I mean, they're going to because they're up against no the way cap. After up, like
yeah,
scratching Duclair, do they keep him? Like, I think he's a trade target now.
Yo,
like, if you scratch a guy during the playoffs, you're probably trading him. Realistically.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Do we want to talk quickly about the New York Rangers Carolina series?
Can we talk a little bit about what they have to do this offseason? Because if you look at their cap situation. They
Can we talk to them about them going to a strip club, allegedly.
Yeah. Do you think that's real or what?
That too happened.
Do we care? Like, they played really well at game four. Like,
yeah, they played that first game really well.
Okay, so if they did go to the strip club, I think I don't care, but I also think it's stupid because it's just a bad look. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think staying unless they were literally getting hammered at the strip club, which I doubt. Like, they probably just went out to the strip club.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And then, like, you know, stayed out till 3. The game starts at 7. Or, sorry, no. Game. What time did...
Game they all napped during the day.
Too. Yeah. The first game before started at, like, 3:30 or noon or whatever. And then the next game started at 7?
Yeah, 7 or 7:30, whatever it is, right? Yeah. They have all day to rest. They could sleep 9 hours.
Yeah.
And then have or There's 10 gonna be hours, no practice. 11 hours. And still have plenty of time left to prepare for the game. So I'm not like really. It's just like you're just dumb because you could have you can expect the optics of that. So it's just like you're just being stupid.
You should have paid off.
It shows bad decision making.
More money.
Yeah.
By not paying off more people.
I mean, there's no way that's not going to get out. Like, team that gets swept in the fourth game of the series gets.
And then it's coming out as not true. So.
I mean, I mean, if it's not true, then great. If it is true, then like it. Just I don't think it's not going to be a reason why they lost, but it is just like bad decision making on their.
Because quite clearly, they came out pretty fucking hard. Like they didn't look hungover. Let's say
the real thing that Florida has to worry about now is that Barkov and who is it? Verhaeghe were making. Less than $7 million combined this season.
Yes.
And next season, they're going to be making $14 million. So they're doubling the cost of those two. They have $600,000 in cap space next year. Wrong. They have, what is it? $3.9 million in cap space going into next season. And the people that are UFAs are Giroux, Nolachari, whatever. Mason Marchmont, who's going to get a very good raise after having a very, very good season. Probably like in the $3 to $4 million range is my guess, since he's a UFA. Joel Thornton's probably gone, but they also have Ben Sherratt, Robert Hägg. Like, they have to sign at least another defenseman or two. So they don't have a lot of
Roberto Luongo comes off the books next year, though.
That's true. That's big. And the dead cap hit from Domi. And
they have Keith Yandel at $6 million next year, though.
Freeman said they were trying to get rid of Bob at the trade deadline. Not trade deadline. Or
That's one cap hit that they need off their roster. The thing is, the year after, like, because Yandel's buyout is taking up almost $6 million on their cap hit for next season, which really screws up their cap situation. Like, there's no way Giroux comes back. Probably no way Mason Marchmont comes back, and then they'll probably have to get rid of Duclair just to put their team together. That's a lot of secondary offense gone, right? Like, Giroux came in, was almost point per game. Duclair, 60 something points, I think. Marchmont, 60 points almost. Like, that's a lot of offense gone. So they're going to have to completely retool the team again. Like I said, I compare it to Tampa when Tampa went and completely changed the bottom of their roster. Blake Coleman, Barclay Goodrow, and everything like that. think Florida's going to have to do something similar, though they won't be able to do it mid-season like Tampa did because they don't have any picks anymore. They have no first rounders for 2022, 2023, 2024, and only one second rounder in those years as well. So they gave up all of the picks to kind of go all in.
But they had to. Like, this was...
This was their time, and they still can go all in next year.
Yep.
With no real additions, and they're still going to be a good team.
Like, Huberto is not going to stop being a good player. Barkov's not going to stop being a good player. Reinhardt's not going to stop. Reinhardt's not going to stop. Yeah.
They have some decline coming with, like, Patrick Hornquist and stuff, but other than
that... Well, Hornquist declined this year, which is a pretty big loss for them, especially in the playoffs, because... Even with him like sitting out games throughout the regular season, he was still a non-factor, which is why.
I mean, he still had 28 points, which is not good, but he's not like completely useless. Is kind of my point. He had 30. He basically had 30 points in 65 games.
He was a healthy scratch and stuff, though. Like, he wasn't like.
And in the playoffs, he wasn't very good either. He had 2 points in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you got him as a playoff guy, because he's a guy you'd be looking at with Pittsburgh, and he was part of that HPK line. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was called. I missed one of the letters.
Hornquist, Bonino. No.
HBK.
Yeah.
No.
What did you say?
HBM? I don't know. Hornquist,
it's Haglin, not Hornquist. It was Haglin on that line.
Was it?
Yeah. Sorry. It was Haglin on that line. Haglin. Okay. Yeah. Haglin, Kessler,
he was still a big, that was the line. Hornquist was still a big part of the Pittsburgh Penguins cop.
For sure. I think Florida, if you look at all their top guys, nobody performed in the playoffs, right? So I think you got to just... The Leafs guys didn't perform in the playoffs last season for the most part. I think you just got to run it back with the same guys and hope they do better next year. Like, Huberto, 5 points in 10 games after a 115-point season is ridiculous. And Barkov, 7 points in 10 games, slightly better, and that's after 90 points in 67 games. Right, so both on 100-plus point paces. And
well, when you score 4 goals... In a 4-game series, that's not so good.
So, anyways, Florida, they've got to rework their team. I think they need a better checking line. I think they have to find a way to get rid of Hornquist and get rid of that cap hit, because $5.3 million for 2 more years is rough. They can probably move him along with like Duclair or something, maybe something like that. So like a huge $8 million cap dump right there. Duclair's making $3 million, so an $8 million cap dump.
If you could get rid of Bob, unreal, $10 million.
Yeah, not happening.
Not happening.
I mean, if they did, then they could keep Giroux potentially, right?
We have to move on, folks.
Producer Luke's getting involved.
Producer Luke is producing.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
And now we'll get back into the show. Do we want to talk quickly about New York Rangers Carolina, or do we just not care?
I have nothing to say about that other than New York is somehow, like, we all said Carolina's winning that series, and New York's actually been playing better than Carolina over the last couple of games, based off of what I'm
Carolina can only win
actually
home,
watching
apparently.
The series, not because I've watched a single game, because I haven't of that series.
Carolina can only win at home. They are, I think, 6-0 in the playoffs at home and 0-5 away.
All I know is O-Dog chirps the crap out of Freddy because apparently his injuries seem sketchy. and they keep being very sketchy about it. Like, basically, an MRI came back saying Freddie was clear and good, and Freddie then came out and said basically to his team, I don't feel I am ready to play. And it's like, so what the fuck's wrong with you, dude?
Ben Simmons.
Yeah,
I mean, Ben Simmons energy. So the Leafs kind of did make him play, I think, through an injury last year or the year before. I think it was last year. But
I mean, at least it's like, hockey.
That's how he might
feel. It's hockey. It's the NHL. To win the Stanley Cup, people play through a fucking injury. I think that's all always getting at. He's a little.
Do you think that's something wrong with sports culture, though?
Yes, but that's besides the point.
I think you kind of have to if you're playing that level of sport. Like I think it just kind of comes with the territory. Like I played a game of soccer last night. I got stepped on, and I'm still going to play next week. And it probably won't feel
that is definitely equal. Thanks,
no, that's like I'm not saying it's equal, but I'm just saying, like sports, you get hurt. Like you're gonna get hurt all the time. You're gonna get hurt within a game. You're gonna get hurt and keep going. Like it's just how sports operate.
Yeah, I do agree. I've twisted my ankle a couple times and kept playing. Like,
You leave a game because you get hurt, your team would forfeit halfway through, bro. Because everybody gets hurt. Like you get
And then when you see the injury list when teams release those after the playoffs end. You know, like Dallas Sagan had a fractured rib or something. Like,
it's quite clear.
Coupe Hintz had
got an ACL surgery today because he broke his ACL in the first game.
Of
the
point is, like, you fight.
Dreisaitl's playing.
We don't have the insight, though, into how bad Freddie really is, though. So it's
Dreisaitl's playing on a bum ass ankle and hasn't missed a game and doesn't really look like he's missing a step. That's all I'm saying.
All I'm saying is, I feel like that's a toxic part of sports. But I don't disagree with you either. So I think I think every injury is different and can be applied differently.
Yeah, I just think we can't say anything without you need to know such intimate details about what's going on with him to say like, oh, he's being sketchy about his injury. Like maybe the MRI shows nothing's wrong, but like he feels something's off and it's going to affect, you know, split second decisions where he's going to go, ooh, I don't want to like move that way or something like that. Yeah. You know?
Well, that calls into question, should he be a starting goalie at that point? Like,
I don't think so. Cause like, if when you're injured, hurts, you actively avoid trying to aggravate it. But
this guy has left playoffs since he joined the Leafs. Which is basically since he's been a starting goalie in the
league. That could just be a luck thing too, right? Like, I don't know. I don't think we know enough to say, but I'm skeptical to go as far as O-Dog. But O-Dog gets better ratings than us, so he needs to say stuff like that to keep people listening. Is all I'll say about that. You guys want to go to Flames Oilers?
Yeah.
So
I'm shocked.
Yeah, I think we all thought the Flames were going to win that. I think we were off on the Rangers, Carolina, and Flames, Oilers, basically.
I mean, Carolina could still win. It's only 2-2.
Carolina's, it's 2-2. They could still win 4-2. And
true, but I think we all were very confident that Carolina was going to kind of steamroll through the Rangers.
Well, I think we're underestimating New York. Also, Shesterkin wasn't looking so good.
I think we might have overestimated Carolina more than underestimated the Rangers. I think I thought the Carolina was better than this. Like the fact that they've been outplayed in a few games in this series is very troubling when they are clearly a better team and the Rangers haven't even had to rely on Shesterkin to the extent that he hasn't had to be an all-star goalie for them to win games.
Fair enough. We went back, though. We're on Calgary, Edmonton.
Yeah. But anyways, so speaking of Calgary, Edmonton, we were so completely wrong on this.
Everyone was.
I don't think anyone expected literally the entire Calgary team to shit the bed at the same time.
Yeah. That first goal last night. So we're recording on Wednesday, and they just played on Tuesday. And that first goal, I don't know what the fuck Markstrom was doing, and that completely deflated Calgary. Like,
you can only play so well in front of a goalie that's losing his shit. Like, just doesn't have it.
I know. It deflated Markstrom is more important, is what that goal did. Like, it was like, I've been playing bad. I wanted to come out well in this game. And then I just give them the puck on an open net. Like, what?
Yeah.
I was mind boggled when I watched that.
You guys see who scored that goal from inside his own freaking blue line? Against
Anderson.
Yeah.
That was atrocious by
that
Mike Smith.
Was the funniest thing I've ever seen, because right after Mike Smith looks around like,
that's offside. That's icing. That's icing. It's behind the red line.
It was so funny. I was just like, what are you trying to blame this goal on? Like, you're literally looking at people like, what the fuck? Like, it was so funny. But anyways, I don't think we expected McDavid to be this good in the playoffs.
No. I think we all know him as good, but, like, man, this is insane.
Well, Evander Kane, too.
I mean, Evander Kane's really just going on. Like, half of his goals are just McDavid fucking setting him up beautifully. Not to discredit Kane or anything like that, but
Hyman's playing well, too.
Yeah, I think
playing out of his mind.
I think the strategy for any team looking to win in the playoffs, it's acquire an ex-Leaf. It seems to be the way to win a cup. You got, you know, St. Louis with Tyler Bozak. You got Tampa, what was it, Luke Shen. And who else? There was one other guy. Anyways, I forget. Whatever. Point is, it's...
Sorry, on who? On Tampa?
Yeah, there was one other player that was an ex-Leaf as well.
Did they win with Bogosian, or did Bogosian just enter this year? Bogosian a Leaf last year?
Yeah. Bogosian was a Leaf last year. Yeah.
No,
after
he wasn't.
Winning the cup with... Yeah, he was.
No, or was sure he won the cup last year.
Did he go back and forth? Who cares?
I don't know.
Whatever.
Basically, acquire X middle six to middle defensive pairing Leafs, and you win a cup. Because the Leafs can't afford to pay all of them.
That's 2 years in a row, right after the Leafs gave him away. You know, it's just a trend. But anyway.
Yeah. So sorry, he was on Tampa the first cup on the Leafs last year.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
That's what I thought. But yeah, I think we all thought. I mean, Calgary is a better built team. Like, I still don't have any doubt in my mind about that. Like, they have a better defense core, they have better goaltending, and they have a more well-rounded forward group. What they don't have is McDavid. Basically, it seems to be the only difference maker in this series.
Well.
And Markstrom being the bed.
Yeah, their top line's also not performing like it should.
Yeah, and that's probably also a trend. Same thing with Florida's guys in the playoffs. Like,
because who on Edmonton is shutting down Calgary's top 40 goal scoring line? Every player had 40 goals. No one's shutting it down.
Marty Gaudreau still has 13 points this playoffs in 11 games. So we have to remember, he's still point per. Like, it's not just that they're completely shutting down the top line. It's that they're completely dominant. Like, I don't know what to say other than it's just McDavid.
Well, Smith's playing out of his mind, too.
And Markstrom being really bad. Like, Markstrom's been an 800 goaltender, but a lot of the goals he's let in have also not been, like, absolute stinkers.
No.
They've been like McDavid doing crazy
stupid stuff. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stupid stuff in a good way.
It's an interesting series.
I don't think I've ever seen one player dominate in the playoffs like this. like just completely just dragged. Like, I get Hyman's having a good playoffs, Kane, Draisaitl, all of that.
Smith.
But like, it, and Smith.
If Smith sucked,
yeah,
it would be much worse. Like, yeah, Calgary's out chancing them.
But Smith hasn't been like dominant, right? He's just been fine, I think. In my opinion, anyways.
He hasn't been.
Which
bad,
is good. He's been fine, which is good, yeah. Really good for the Oilers. But McDavid is freaking just. It's literally just pawn. It's like he's like so much amateurs or something. Like it's so stupid. Like he's just doing stupid trick stuff. Like you just watch. Like, he's just doing stupid shit. Like he's just. It seems like he's He's just messing around with them at some points. Like he does random ass fucking moves, and I'm just like, you don't do that ever. I feel like you're just doing that to be like a shit disturbing.
Which is also because it's allowing other players on his team to have way more open ice. Because literally four Calgary guys will go to McDavid.
Yep.
And
he's the entire.
As soon as that happened, that's a bad strategy.
I think someone posted it the other day. They're just like, you know, I think McDavid has how many points does McDavid have in the playoffs so far?
Someone it's like 24 now or something. Yeah,
24 like points right now or something like that in 11 games, I think. Or, 11 games.
I'll pull it up.
And Crosby won the Conn Smythe in 2016. 25 points now. And Crosby won the Conn Smythe with 21 points, I think, over like 24 games, basically. That the year the Pens won, or one of the years the Pens won.
I think McDavid just heard all the people in Leafland saying Matthews might be like on a level with them, and he's like, no.
So before the playoffs started this year, he had 31 points in 30 games, I think, or 32 points in 31 games, and now he's got 47 points in 32 games. He's like increased his points in the playoffs by a whole 0.5.
I mean, there's anyone that doubts he's the best player in the world now. I think they're where some ties, a lot of ties out there. I mean, I still think Matthews had a better regular season, and I think most people would agree with that. But McDavid was clearly saving himself for the playoffs or something, because this is insane.
Something. And he's playing a fuck ton. Like, he plays like.
And there's nothing Calgary
can do. 22 plus minutes a game. Like,
there's not much Calgary can do. Like, I think strategically they're trying, but they're like. Completely giving up,
like I said, line 4-on-1.
Yeah, like because when you're watching them, they're giving up the blue line on him consistently, and then you think like, okay, they should just try to, you know, prevent him from entering the zone. But if you try to gap control him too much and get tight in, he'll just skate around you, right? Which has happened a couple times when a couple of defensemen tried to keep a tight gap, right? Like he just completely burns past them. So it's like Calgary right now just can't find an answer. Between like trying to prevent him from entering the zone in the first place and then just letting him in and skate circles around them for. You've seen like he's done it multiple times in the series where he just literally just skates around with the puck for like 10 seconds in the offensive zone, just by himself, just fucking doing whatever he wants. And everyone's just falling back into the middle of the ice or in front of the goal to the middle of the ice because there's nothing that they can do about it.
But in terms of what is this surprising? We can
ask. They should have game planned better.
Like, no, I'm just saying us as fans. Like,
Oh, okay.
I'm not like.
No, I think every. I think you're a little surprised.
Like, a little bit? But it's also.
A little surprised. Like, come on.
Also, we've been saying he's the best since he entered the league. Actually, since before that.
Yeah. Everyone said he'll be the best player in the NHL.
What we expected him to do. Yeah. Not expected.
But he also has only started to expect to do what we expect him to do in the playoffs now.
I mean, last year he had like.
Last year he did
2.3 points game or something ridiculous.
Was it that?
Like in the regular season? Like it was.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. But like he's been turning up levels. It seems every year. It's like I get 100 points in my rookie season and I'm just going to keep doing things that are ridiculous. Like he's our generation's Gretzky almost.
Yeah, I mean, so last year he had 4 points in 4 playoff games. The year before he had 9 points in 4 playoff games. And then this year, 25 points in 11 playoff games.
Yeah.
Which is insane. But
he also realized he realized like he needed to do it. Like he needed to be the guy. It needs to be him.
Well, he had a weird
iteration of the Edmonton Oilers are gonna win.
Yeah.
It needs to be him.
Well, he had a
You're playing with a 40-year-old goalie. Career.
McDavid's had a weird career because he came into the league, he got injured. He had a slow start to entering the league, but like every player almost does, right? And then gets back from injury and freaking just dominates. Basically, goes over point per game in his rookie season. Jumps up to 100 points in 82 games next year, and the following two seasons were some of the best made him one of the best players to ever have lived just off those two seasons because he was so much better than everyone else offensively. Like, way better, like, historically good. And he was also decent defensively. And then suddenly, he dropped off completely for, 2 years, more or less. Or maybe almost 3 years, where he just became really bad defensively. And then this year, completely picked it up again. Not elite defensively or anything, but, like, really good. And again, in the playoffs, it's not just his offense that has shown. It's, like, he's not fumbling the bag defensively either. Which is huge. So he's changed, whether it's his change to his game, whether the coaching changed the system, whatever it is that made this difference, it's paying off massively.
I think it must be a little that Tippett's gone. Like, it has to be a decent amount. Tippett's out of there.
Yeah, I mean, Woodcroft has definitely made some huge changes to the way Edmonton plays, mm-hmm. for yeah. sure, which has probably helped. Yeah. But McDavid was also doing well defensively before Woodcroft came. So I don't give Woodcroft credit for McDavid's improvement necessarily, but maybe we can give him some credit for the way he's played in the playoffs. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. I think McDavid's proved he's on nobody's level. I think the interesting question that came up is McDavid so much better than the second best player in the NHL compared to like any other sport out there? That was the conversation that came up. And I was like, I kind of wanted to talk about that because that's interesting. Like, who's the best player in the NBA right now, right?
I feel like it was when it was prime LeBron.
Prime LeBron versus... I don't think anyone was
stopping prime LeBron versus prime McDavid.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, that was a pretty big gap. Beyond that, I can't really think.
I think it is one of the bigger gaps I've ever seen. Like, in basketball, I don't think there's a clear number one player. Like, I think it's switched the last couple of years, depending on the seasons different guys have had consistently. Soccer.
NFL
is very hard because of the different positional aspects to it, but I still don't think there's like a clear cut number one best player.
Not now that Brady's old and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, a decade ago. Not even a decade ago. Like, 5, 6, 7 years ago. Brady, mm-hmm. sure. But now I think it's very up in the air. Soccer, now that Messi was clearly the best for a while, but I think, he's 35 years old now. His decline has started. So I think like McDavid is probably the
Messi
right.
Messi going to MLS.
Messi going to MLS is freaking huge if that actually ends up happening. We'll see if he actually
massive.
Does. But that I'll be going to every game. Every time he comes to Toronto, that'll be a freaking show.
Eric's living in Miami.
Yeah, I'm moving to Miami.
Literally. Yeah. Well, go to Mexico, then fly over. It's probably cheaper than
It'd be cheaper.
It's probably true, honestly. But yeah, I think I can't think of a sport where there's a bigger gap between first and second.
I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, anything else you y'all
baseball? I don't know if anyone touches Ohtani. Like, that guy.
What about
fucking
I don't
crazy.
Know baseball that well, but what about the guy that plays on the Angels?
Like, That's Ohtani.
sorry. Who's the other guy?
Or Trout.
Trout. Mike Trout.
But Ohtani's a freak of nature and does both. Like, Trout so you doesn't can't compare. Pitch.
That doesn't yeah. matter. Doesn't matter.
That he does both? I mean, no. Sure it does.
You can't compare. You literally can't compare.
Extraordinarily well.
Yeah, but like that's like a it's like a freak of nature.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what he said. That's his whole argument.
Ohtani is just who the fuck is like it's nuts. He's
but
ridiculous.
That's like, but that's very similar to Messi. Like Messi played both midfield. He was the best playmaker while being the best scorer in soccer, which has never happened. True. That has never happened before.
Wait, right? Do you think Messi was better than Ronaldo?
I don't think it was ever. I don't think it's been close since Messi was like 18, 19.
Oh,
basically.
Because okay. Ronaldo, like
2008, 2009 onward, it's been Messi.
Ronaldo was a huge scorer, not like a huge playmaker.
Ronaldo has always like. There's been some years where he's outscored Messi, sure, but there's plenty of years where Messi completely outscored him. But in no season has Ronaldo ever put up close to the amount of assists or any playmaking stats you want to look at compared to Messi. Like, it's not even close. Yeah. Scoring chances, assists, secondary assists, key passes, dribbles, like, whatever you want to look at, it's never been close. So, I don't know baseball, so I'm just listening to you. But if Ohtani seems similar in that aspect, like, it's never happened. So, it might not be fair to compare. So, maybe him. Maybe
he's
him.
A freak.
But is Mike
and he's doing it 2 years. Like, everyone's like, last year, like, an abnormality. Like, let's see if he can do it again. And he's fucking doing it again, man. Yeah.
But
like,
can't
baseball purists say Mike Trout, though, because, like, he is a better hitter and better fielder or something. I don't know. I don't know baseball that well. I just know Ohtani's insane.
You just know you bought his jersey because you're a fanboy.
Yes.
Bandwagon fanboy.
Hey, I bought a Japan Ohtani jersey because I can't not support the Jays. but yes, bandwagon fanboy on Ohtani. But like last year was his coming out party, so like, hey, lots of bandwagon.
Okay, right. Time to move on to the last series here.
Last
Colorado, St. Louis.
Colorado's up 1-0 already. In the elimination
Yeah, they're up
game.
Like 2 seconds in.
Yeah.
And, I think they're going to win the series. I thought this.
You think Colorado's going to win?
I think we all said that this was going to be a closer series than what it's been so far.
Yeah, I think we all picked the Blues to win, actually.
No, I picked Colorado to win.
That is false. I definitely picked Colorado.
Yeah, I think me and Martin picked Colorado and you and Ty picked the Blues.
Oh, maybe.
I'm pretty confident in that.
I'm pretty confident.
McKinnon has two goals.
I couldn't doubt the Avs this year, but they did lose Sam Girard, which is actually a pretty big loss.
St. Louis lost Binnington first game, so that's second. Yeah.
And then I don't think we can talk about the series without talking about what happened last game. Right,
the game where Kadri hit Binnington
scored a hat trick. The last game where he scored a hat trick, got an assist,
and was the target of hate crimes on
almost,
the ice, basically.
On the ice and off the ice, it was freaking ridiculous. Like there's been very few games where you see a player targeted like him. Like I said it in the group chat, there was like four instances where Perron probably could have gotten suspended, like the elbow, the cross check.
That cross check was nasty, bro.
Yeah, that was like he had a lead up to it. It wasn't just like in one place.
He comes across, hits him, then the other St. Louis guy hits him, and then Perron comes back and cross checks him, I think twice, like once down, and then again when he was on the ground already.
Yeah, so there was dirty as hell. Where he could have gotten suspended, and somehow he only got a $5,000 fine, I think you said, Luke.
Yeah, the maximum allowable under the CBA.
Yeah, so absolute joke.
I thought the elbow, the missed elbow on after the goal was probably the dirtiest of them all, though.
Yeah, that one was like, then that could have been really bad too.
That would have been.
He was not expecting it. He was just cheering, and then like half a second, if he throws that half a second earlier, that's yeah, that's bad.
The only other game where I can think of a player being targeted in the way that they was the Boston game where Kadri ended up getting suspended. But before that, he was kneed, he was cross-checked, he was mugged.
Yeah, but it wasn't even to that level, I don't think.
Yeah, but it wasn't even to that level. That's the only other game where I can think.
That was a game where I was like, Kadri might literally like leave this game in like broken somehow.
Yeah,
like,
it just instead he left like, suspended.
Yeah.
Oh, you talking about the game against Boston or last night?
No. Last night, I'm saying like that was like during the Boston game, I could tell that they were just like it seemed obviously they were targeting him, but the Blues game, it was like they were trying to actively fucking like hurt him.
And if you are a fan of the sport and you think Kadri was trying to run a Binnington, I swear, get a prescription.
You're fucking dumb.
Get off the Molly.
He was literally like he knocked into Bennington.
Yeah,
like there's no.
If he wasn't knocked, he was redirected.
Yeah, like, redirected.
Ridiculous.
Yeah,
ridiculous
like,
statements.
He was going the other way.
Yeah,
for sure.
And then this guy gets like people want to talk about the NHL league or whatever. Not it's not racist, man. Like the guy's DMs were filled, or his cat's DM. Sorry, because I don't think he has Instagram right now. Or
yeah, I think it was his wife. I think his wife shared his cat. The DMs his cat was getting.
Yeah, because I don't think Kadri has Instagram because of all the hate messages he's gotten before.
And honestly, like, the one that's ever paid
Snowball.
Attention to anything. Martin, what'd you do?
Snowball's barking. Martin, train your dog, bro.
I know. God. Anyone that's ever paid attention to anything going on in hockey or life in general knows those messages get sent. Like, I got those same messages, exactly what those people were saying to Kadri. We got plenty of a talking hockey all the time.
Yeah.
And I did exactly what other people did, which I screenshot it and then just posted it on our story because that was the easiest way to, like, get people to start going, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean it, blah, 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 which is exactly what people are doing now. If you saw, like, there's multiple tweets that went viral. Like, I think Mike Stevens,
he's probably one of the most viral. I think
his was the most viral because he posted it first, but he has got like 7,000 retweets or something insane. Like I like rarely in hockey do you see things blow up that much, so seeing it I was just like wow. But it was all like nobody's surprised by that. Like I've posted dozens of times of messages that I got like that. Obviously Kadri's were next level because you know we had whatever 28,000-29,000 followers on Instagram versus, you know, millions of people watching these games. But people that are acting like, oh, this isn't hockey, oh, this isn't this is so surprising, all this other nonsense. It's like, shut up.
Not surprising.
It's like I was getting them running a fucking, not a fan page, but like an Instagram page about hockey, and I was getting those on a daily/weekly basis. Like, you think players like Kadri aren't getting thousands of those on a month? Like, he probably gets those every day, for sure. Anytime he scores a goal, gets a point, is in the news,
for sure.
He probably gets dozens of those messages.
For sure.
Like
100%.
Yeah.
Especially depending on the team he plays.
Yeah. So, I don't have anything else left to say on the matter. It's just that it's going to happen. It's going to continue to happen.
He did exactly what he needed to do, though, and scored a fucking hat trick. Fuck else?
He really showed, like, that's the best way
fuck
to
all those people.
It's just like, fuck all of you. First off, his wife posted all the screenshots, so all these people are going to get, like, suspended.
Oh, apparently,
Or, like, they're fired from jobs for being racist pieces of shit. And then on top
I'm looking
of that,
at the thread right now.
I'm
looking at the thread right now. It's got 24,000 likes, 10,000 retweets almost.
Jesus.
And underneath it was like, a family member of one of these accounts reached out to me just now, desperately asked me to take down the tweet because his brother sent his message to Kadri while he was drunk, and now their family is getting attacked.
So you're only a racist piece of shit when you're drunk, okay?
Yeah.
That's the excuse. I've been
and
drunk
he just didn't take it down.
Times.
He just said one of these people that screenshot are feeling unsafe. And I do think
I sympathize with the family members. Like, you know, I don't think the right solution is getting the family members scared for their lives and shit.
I don't think the right solution is either also going to these people, calling them like racist. I mean, do what you want.
I think the right solution is send it to all their employers, their schools, their whatever, and be like, this is the type of person you have in your life. And I have zero sympathy for it, to be honest. But I get why people have a little bit of sympathy for the family and stuff like that, because, like, I do too. Like, you know, their family shouldn't be dealing with it, but it is good to know that the family's aware of what's happening with those people, because it's hard to say, because, like, I get the visceral feeling of going, like, fuck this guy, you know, for what he just said. I want to go and show this to everybody. So I get that. But I also get, like, you know, nobody should be messaging their mom, the mom being like, your son's such a fucking piece of shit, like, I'm gonna kill you or whatever.
Never.
Like, just sending the screenshot to the mom is enough.
Yeah, like, doing it back is never the answer.
This is your son. That's all you had to do. Yeah. Here's the screenshot. This is your son. That's all you had to do. You did not have to say anything mean, rude, do anything in the family. I don't know. I get the sending it to the mom thing, or sending it to the family, sending it to the boss or whatever. I do not get threatening the family or anything like that. Like, that's obviously completely...
Did you talk about Berube not commenting, which is ridiculous?
No, we haven't talked about that, but did you see his excuse? He was like, oh, I'm just not on social media, so that's why I haven't said anything. It's basically what his reason.
And he said,
where's your PR team on that one?
I know, right? Like, his PR should have issued his, like, say this or something like that. And they definitely do it. I don't know. Apparently they're planning to do something. I don't know what it is, but clearly
there was, like, rumors that they're gonna post something, and then Berube came out today saying, like, hey, I don't follow on social media. I know that he got, like,
I'm First Nations, so I know firsthand what racism is. But then people have pulled up that in, like, 1997 he called a black guy a monkey or something like that.
Yeah, there's also that. So I don't know if that was actually true, like, true, or if, like, I didn't want to say that, because
plus
I
don't know, it was a reported, plus people, that was 25 years ago. I hope
the world
people
was a
move on
different place. Yeah,
the world was a different place, but also I think if we want to give people room to grow after doing racist things, maybe don't bring up things from 25 years ago. Like, that's just my perspective.
It was a couple years ago. Yes,
if it was like 2 years ago, yeah, maybe 25 years
depending ago. depending on the action. Like, if he was a,
I think 2 years
KKK
ago for
member,
sure,
maybe don't let that go. But, like,
yeah that too,
there has actions to be some sort of like rules.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. There has to be some sort of, like, moving past things, but also I get why if you've called someone a monkey before, you have to be in a very dark place, you know? Yeah. Like, monkeys as extreme
monkeys
as you
far.
Can get when it comes to, like, I think I can't speak for black people, but, like, being called the N-word versus being called a monkey, I feel like that's, like, to me, that would be whatever the brown version of the N-word is. That would, I'd feel more
attacked
by monkey, you know, because brown people hear monkey too. It's not just black people, right? Actually, I got plenty of monkey messages for sure, but I don't know. I just know from my personal experience, like, if I were to hear, like, I don't know, like, Packy or whatever the brown version is of the none really are, but whatever it is, I just know monkey would be, like, more hurtful.
Insulting.
Yeah, more insulting.
Interesting.
So I get why people are like, if you called someone a monkey, like, you know, even if it was in 1990, it's not long enough ago to, like, that.
Yeah, like, even back then, it shouldn't have been.
Yeah, like, it's not like it was ever okay to say monkey.
About a fellow human being.
Yeah, and that's why I'm just like, it's hard to like, I don't know what the right rule is. Like, I 100% agree with Luke, like, you know, there should be some way to, like, people who went away from murder in 1990 are free now, you know. Like, so there is, like, this aspect of,
I,
like,
mean, they might not be living the best life
for sure, right? They're not NHL shirts. So I understand why people say that, like, you
for
know?
Most people after they get out of jail, they live basically a life of slavery. If
that is, like, true, like, they,
the new Jim Crow
minimum wage jobs, can't get a nice place anywhere, a whole bunch of different issues, but yeah, so, like, we let them free, so, you know, if we forgive them as a society in some aspects, but then a lot of aspects don't. So, you know, he called someone a monkey, which isn't nearly as bad as murdering someone, obviously.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know what the right answer is. I don't think anyone has like the right answer, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
One thing I wanted to talk about quickly is Makar's having one of the best playoffs I've ever seen from a defenseman as well.
Yes.
Right?
Overshadowed by McDavid.
Yeah, overshadowed by McDavid, but he's first in goals, points, shot attempts, shot on goals, scoring chances, defensive zone shot assists, shots off the cycle, entry carries and chances, possession exits, second in passes, chance assists, rush shots, zone entries, second in zone entry carries, and then third in high danger passes, rush shot assists, zone exits, and primary shot assists. So he's like first, second, or third in basically every offensive category for a defenseman that you can think of right now.
And how unreal will it be if it is a McDavid, Makar, McKinnon series? Like that's
like that's going to be a series. That's the dream.
It's going to be a series.
Oilers versus Colorado is the dream. I think Colorado versus the Flames would be a good series, but not even close to McKinnon versus McDavid. Like that's what we all want. That's the final. That's the Eastern Conference final we all want for sure.
Western Conference, but yes.
Sorry, did I say Eastern? Yeah, Western Conference. Obviously, Western Conference final that we all want for sure. The entire narrative will be McKinnon versus McDavid, even though McCarr's been better than McKinnon. But besides that point, like that'll be the narrative, and it'll be super fun. And I think Colorado's a way better team, but again, McDavid's a whole nother beast.
Yep.
Yeah.
But does Mac
elevate
his game even higher, like even more, to compete with McDavid?
I mean, we all said how McKinnon's flamed out in the second round a couple times. This time he hasn't.
Not. Well, Colorado hasn't this time. Like, it seems much more like a team dynamic.
They're also a young team. Like, we can't forget that. Like, Makar, Girard, Devin Taves, and Bowen Byram.
Like, this Colorado team.
Early 20s.
You mentioned how Florida kind of felt like the Tampa Bay team when they flared out like right away against Columbus. But this Colorado team, they flared out in the second round a whole bunch and were like, Colorado, Colorado, Colorado. And now it's like Colorado.
And that's what I'm saying. Like,
it's Colorado bold-faced, underlined.
I think Colorado is such a – Colorado and Tampa – are such good examples of believing in the process, not tearing the team down because they flaked out of the playoffs. Like, exactly to your point, sorry. And I think when we were talking about it, I said versus Washington when they flamed out. You're right. It was versus Columbus. I don't know why I was saying Washington. They were up like three. They were up the first game and then like lost the rest of them, remember?
Yeah.
And they didn't.
4-0.
Yeah, they didn't tear down the team. They didn't like completely change everything. They made some key changes. They made the right changes. They didn't trade Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov and Stamkos and Hedman. And there wasn't this narrative, oh, you have to get rid of one of the big guys now. Like, no, they worked around the edges. They fixed what was broken and they moved on. And then they, you know, they're now back to back pots.
Does help having the best goalie in the league.
It does help having the best goalie in the league. But remember, Vasilevsky wasn't great that series, right? What if they traded him away? You know what I mean? Like, and Colorado. What about last year? What did they decide they trade McKinnon because they flamed out of the second round for the third time in a row? Right? Like it doesn't make any sense.
Will argue with Tampa is they do seem to get the hometown discount quite a bit.
Sure,
which
but
is
they could have easily torn. They could have easily torn it down, but they didn't.
Yes. Yeah, so, they couldn't have traded Stamkos. Like, Stamkos was one of the biggest ones on the block.
They could have.
Then he goes and gets 50 goals. Did he get 50 this year?
I don't think he hit, or maybe he got close, but he was definitely over point per game. Wait, I think he hit 100 points, didn't he? Anyways.
I think he had a good year.
He had a really good year. Whatever the... Here, I have it right
42
here.
And 100, 42, goals 42 and 106.
Yeah, exactly.
106 points, yeah.
So Tampa did what was right. Colorado did what was right. Florida, I hope, is going to do what was right. Keep Barkov, keep Huberto, work around the edges. Toronto hopefully does what's right and, again, work around the edges. But that's the way forward. The way forward is not to tear down any of these teams. You work along the edges. You get what you fix what was broken. None of the stars have ever been what's been broken. It's been what's been around the team. Maybe getting the stars more experience, all that kinds of stuff, which is exactly what Colorado has now done.
For Colorado, adding Kadri, huge addition. Yeah, clearly. Just a anyway, huge addition.
That's all. Unless you guys got anything else you guys wanted to discuss, I think we covered the majority of what's going on. Anything else, Luke? Producer Luke?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, you want to run
the third round? Will be started by the time we're
recording
going again.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, next time. I was going to say not by Friday, but yes, no. By next week, third round probably will be started.
Yes.
And we'll have exciting. Some previews for you, I guess. All right. See, thank you, everyone.
Love you guys.
Say goodbye to Snowball and cheers.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K, and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.